the President of the United States.
We have allowed so many weasels to be elected.
So wherever and whenever I can take steps without legislation, that's what I'm going to do.
Those weasels who deny American exceptionalism.
I believe in American exceptionalism.
Those weasels who are saying to our children in their schools that we need to conform, that we need to bow down to those foreign interests. They're saying to you and I that America is no longer the great shining light upon the hill. Let us send this message. No, no, no. We will not bow down. We will not conform. And we will not go away.
Now on KLZ, Freedom 560 with your host, Ken Clark.
I am just sitting here shaking my head in total and complete disbelief of what I am about to do. I never, ever in my wildest imaginations in the almost 5 years I've been doing radio and the 31 years I've been involved in politics have I ever, ever thought I would be doing what I'm about to do. And that is this. I'm going to congratulate one individual and a group of people and say give them a very heartfelt thank you for temporarily saving the proverbial economic butt of the United States of America. What am I talking about? I've got to thank Nancy Pelosi and the unions for temporarily killing Obamatrade. That's right. That's exactly right. I can't believe I'm sitting in the studio, Ken, right behind Ken, the microphone. Ken. Yeah.
I hate to interrupt, but we just got this late breaking news from the emergency alert system. Hell has frozen over.
Yeah. I mean, Randy, I'm not a bit surprised. Hell has frozen over. Let me tell you what happened today. It has been a whirlwind of a day in the House of Representatives. And you've seen all the headlines. Democrats kill Obamatrade. Nancy Pelosi fires the kill shot. She came out against Obamatrade at the very end. Paul Ryan threw up his hands in frustration. Republican vice presidential nominee Paul Ryan throwing up his hands in frustration because Nancy Pelosi helped us kill Obamatrade. Now, this is how it came down. Last night, there was a procedural vote that barely passed by one vote, I believe. And I want to thank Congressman Ken Buck, rock star, sticking to his guns, voted against that last night, voted the right way again today. But there were two votes that happened today. The first one was 302 to 126. And that was a portion of the free trade bill that, let's see, would have allowed benefits for workers who were displaced because of trade agreements, okay? So they killed that, and that died 302 to 126. That basically was the nail in the coffin, and that happened this morning. So technically, the pivotal vote was on a portion of the legislation to renew federal aid for workers who lose their jobs through imports. That's what it was. This is according to news.yahoo.com. Then later today, there was a second vote. This was a roll call vote on the trade negotiation powers themselves. And the House approved that measure, 219 to 211. But under the rules, in effect, the overall legislation previously approved by the Senate could not advance to the White House unless both halves were agreed to. So this amounts to a temporary reprieve. They're going to go back at it over the weekend. They may be voting on this thing again as early as Tuesday. But for now, that thing has died. But that's a very telling sign. Okay, 302 to 126. Nobody in Congress really has a backbone because they voted to kill this portion for federal aid for workers who lose their jobs through imports, knowing that then they could feel free to vote for the Fast Track Trade Authority, knowing it was still killed today anyway. Okay, so that's kind of how this thing works. It's a whole bunch of procedural mumbo jumbo. It's a whole bunch of people covering their proverbial backsides, if you will. But for now, TPP, the Trans-Pacific Pact Partnership, rather, the free trade agreement is dead. Obama today decides that he's going to run down to Capitol Hill and he's going to put a push on there and he's going to do what he's got to do in order to save the day. When he walks into the chambers, he drew applause when he walked into the meetings with Democrats. But then sharp words after he left and few, if any, conversions for his efforts. Basically, the president tried both guilt and then to impugn people's integrity. This according to Representative Peter DeFrazio, Democrat Oregon, one of the most outspoken opponents of the legislation. So, yeah, Obama goes down to Capitol Hill. He goes down to the to Congress and tries to rally the votes to support this thing. Nah, can't do it. And Pelosi, when she fired the kill shot, that was basically the final nail in the coffin that killed this thing. Now, again, it's kind of like a vampire. It ain't dead yet. It may still come back next week, and it's ever possible because what they voted that vote, and don't get fooled by the news media. That was a 302 to 126 vote against a portion of the agreement that would renew federal aid for workers who lose their jobs through imports. Okay, why not just do it right, get the federal government out of our way, get real fair international free trade, then you wouldn't have to be providing any federal aid for these workers who are losing their jobs. I mean, you open this thing up, do it properly, nobody can compete with the United States of America. We do it better, faster, and smarter, always. Well, at least we used to. It's that second roll call vote that worries me, because this was on the trade negotiation powers themselves, and the House did approve that by a measure of 219 to 211. My phone lines are lighting up. Is Michael and Parker ready? Randy, let's go ahead and put him on. Michael and Parker? Well, Randy's not paying attention. We'll get to him in just a second. But this is kind of where we're at. So this is a temporary scenario. Let's go to Michael and Parker. Michael, are you here with me? Michael?
Hello?
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, great. Yeah, I am just excited. I know the vampire is not dead yet. We need 10 more sticks to kill this thing. But I'm just so excited. I called Ken Buck several times yesterday. I called Cory Gardner. I was nonstop on the phone calling every congressman, Facebooking, tweeting. I am so glad that, you know, at least right now it's temporary dead. But I do have to say I'm kind of ashamed that our Congress people were willing to kill benefits for people who lost their jobs because of TPP, but they still wanted TPP to go through. So to me, it says they don't care about the American people. They care about profits for the multinational corporations.
I can't believe I actually had to thank Nancy Pelosi and the unions for killing this thing. I mean, is this upside down or what? I cannot make heads or tails of this.
I think one of the things I've realized the past 4 years is that the Democrats and Republicans are both in bed with the corporations. And, I don't want to put labels on people anymore. You have to look at their voting record. And I respect Ken Buck for doing what he did. I look at Dan DeCredo, I respect his voting record when he was a congressman. So, look at their voting record. Are they for the people or are they for corporations? And I'm excited. At least today, I can say the vampire is in the coffin.
It's in the coffin, but I'm just hoping they don't remove that stake through its heart. Michael, thank you for calling into Freedom 560. I appreciate it. Let's go to Doug and Elizabeth. Doug, I'm with you, man. I am completely dumbfounded that I'm sitting behind a microphone having to thank the unions and thank Nancy Pelosi. But you know what? They did it. Republicans couldn't do it. They did.
I know, and I don't know what's going on, because you get somebody like Jeff Sessions, who I admire very much. He read this, and he said, this is horrible. And then you get someone like Paul Ryan, who I like for the most part, but I don't know what's going on in Washington, D.C. with this issue or so many issues.
Well, and I was having a conversation with somebody today, and they asked me why. And I said it was the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and Wall Street. That's why. That's why this is going down the way it is. That's why the Republicans are pushing for this thing and the Democrats are pushing back, because it's the unions that are driving the Democrat Party, and it is the fat cats on Wall Street, and it is the United States Chamber of Commerce that are pushing the Republicans into voting for this garbage.
Okay, let's go back to the Senate. Well, the Senate voted to pass this garbage, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
And I have no doubt, I don't know this, but you tell me, our buddy Cory Gardner, I'm sure, voted for it.
Oh, yes, he did. So yeah, did Ted Cruz.
I just don't know what's going on. It's like Alice in Wonderland. And you look at Boehner and McConnell. And I don't know with this issue, but with health care reform, with so many things, is it just big money pushing people around and people are acquiescing? What is happening to our country?
Doug, it is bought and paid for. That's what's happening.
I just don't know what's going on. And this issue is so important. I'm not a conspiratorial freak, but I can't help but to think of Agenda 21 or New World Order when you have people that are saying this would be good for the country, and it's going to then you have to have a TAA display where you have workers that are displaced but have to have help from the government because they're going to be displaced by foreign workers, and you have people like Ted Cruz backing this. I don't know what's happening. I don't know which end is up anymore.
Doug, I don't either. And thank you for calling into Freedom 560. I really appreciate it. And you know, it's unbelievable. You really don't know what you can count on anymore. I mean, you just don't. And you don't know who you can count on. That's why I am so excited about having Greg Norlin advertising on Freedom 560, because this guy I know personally. He's one of us. He is a true believer. He is somebody that you can count on. He owns Quasar Construction and Renovation. And this kind of thing isn't going to happen with this guy. With him, you know exactly what you're getting because he provides everything to you in spreadsheet form. If you want to know how much the subcontractors cost, it's in there. If you want to know how much the fixtures cost, it's in there. You're not going to have to wonder where he's coming from. You're not going to have to wonder what side of the fence this guy's on. I mean, you want quality construction and you want it at a fair price. You call Greg Norlin, owner of Quasar Construction and Renovation, and that's exactly what you get. That's what you can count on from Freedom 560. That's what you can count on from Quasar Construction and Renovation. Call Greg 720-638-6742. 720-638-6742. He is the only contractor and renovation specialist I will recommend. Welcome back. Freedom 560. I am your host, Ken Clark. I'm going to be getting back to more analysis on what happened today. I'll be doing that at 2 o'clock, straight up at 2 o'clock. I've got, there were a couple other things I wanted to hit on, and I wanted to talk about something in particular. And so I wanted to invite Michael Sargent on the air. He is with the Heritage Foundation, and he's here to talk about the Transportation Empowerment Act and who is really going to be trusted with our highway system. We've seen what's going on in 36 between Denver and Boulder. We've seen the idea that we had to pass legislation because our legislators misappropriated all the highway funds. It's hard to figure out what's really going on out there. Michael, welcome back to Freedom 560.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Ken. And I like the Steppenwolf intro.
I did too. I was just thinking about letting that play, but I thought, we probably should. This is talk radio after all. So tell me, what's going on with the Transportation Empowerment Act?
So this is a bill that essentially brings transportation decisions back home. It would get the federal government, by and large, out of the transportation business and let states and localities who know their own needs the best make their own transportation decisions.
Well, let me ask you this question, because do you remember when that bridge collapsed in Minnesota, right?
I do.
Okay. Our legislators here in the state of Colorado immediately went into panic mode because they had spent all of our road and bridges dollars on all their pet projects. And so they had exhausted all the funds that were supposed to go to that. So then they passed some very creative corruption in the form of legislation in order to refund the roads and bridges. How can we be assured that that won't happen? Or is it just up to us here in Colorado to make sure that they do the right thing?
Well, first of all, on the Minnesota bridge collapse, that was not a funding problem. The bridge had a construction defect that no amount of maintenance or funding could have fixed. And so you see this all the time when there's a disaster, a tragedy that happens. It's really unfortunate that people kind of jump and immediately run to blame funding, when in reality it's generally something else that causes it. But absolutely. So the states will be put in control. And right now the federal government puts a lot of perverse incentives towards the states. There's a lot of federal mandates that come attached with a federal price tag. And so it would be up to the states who are generally a lot closer to the voters. They have much better idea of what would be going on. They'd be free to make their own transportation programs without any of these burdensome mandates that the federal government hands down when they redistribute the tax dollars.
Well, and I really am a big fan of local control. I'm a big fan of states' rights. And I like this idea. The idea that the federal government is going to be involved in anything on a local level drives me insane. So yep. I think this is a good step. But if we, as citizens of the state of Colorado, are going to push something like this, we better make sure that we are on top of our legislatures. Michael?
Absolutely. And so just the fact that once it gets back to the states, this is going to be, they're going to have to take action if they want to keep the same levels of transportation funding. So they're going to have to do initiatives, and people are going to have to get involved, and that's the beauty of it. They'll be in control. I mean, we saw this in Michigan just last month when the voters shot down a bad gas tax increase. They shot it down 80-20 because they realized they were getting a raw deal. The legislature turned it into a Christmas tree. We're going to divert a bunch of gas tax dollars away from roads. And so they said, that's not what we want. And so they're back to the drawing boards. And that's a great thing. And probably not what would happen if the federal government was in charge of that decision.
You know, in the state of Colorado, if we can make sure that those funds stay out of the quote-unquote general fund, because that is the proverbial black hole where dollars go to be spent on everything except mm-hmm. what they were originally intended to, sounds like other states are starting to figure this out, too.
That's right. And so transportation is always best funded when the user pays user benefits. And so the gas tax has been the old model, but now if the states are able to get control of it, they'll be able to devise their own ways of funding it, perhaps with new innovative ways of financing through tolls or mileage-based user fees. And so some of them will work, some of them won't, but the beauty of it is that it won't be a top-down approach anymore. There'll be competition between the states, and we'll be able to see what works best instead of right now where the current situation is obviously not working. We have the federal government funding it all through the Highway Trust Fund that has a $168 billion shortfall over the next 10 years. And so once the states have control, we'll be able to see more innovation in the ways that highways and transportation projects are financed.
That voice you're hearing is Michael Sargent, and he has got a lot of solutions for America's infrastructure. And what we're talking about is the Transportation Empowerment Act. And Michael is a research assistant at the Thomas A. Rowe Institute for Economic Policies and Studies at the Heritage Foundation. Now, Michael, I got to ask this question because for whatever reason, the government in their racketeering, and they're really good at this kind of racketeering, they take our Colorado tax dollars, wash them through the Washington system, and then send them back in the form of transportation dollars. Will this bill go help to stop some of that?
Oh, so that's what that's the problem it goes out to solve. It reduces its gas tax, which is what the Highway and Transportation Trust Fund is funded by. It'll reduce that from 18.3 cents to 3.7 cents over the course of 5 years. So it will essentially get the federal government out of the way and let states pick up their own transportation funding initiatives to fill that void. And how the states choose to do that is it's their own initiative. And so we'll definitely see some differences between the states, and that's good. I mean, to treat all the states the same is just ridiculous. I mean, Colorado and New Jersey have completely different transportation needs. So to fund them through the same top-down system that has a ton of federal mandates on it, it just really does not make any sense.
You know, you're right. And you can take a look at Colorado, Wyoming. Compare that to Manhattan. Okay, compare it to Manhattan. Just do. I mean, there are more people in a couple city blocks in Manhattan than the entire state of Wyoming, yet it all is funneled through the same thing, and it doesn't work. And it is up to us, we the people, citizens of Colorado, to make sure, if this thing passes, that we're on top of our own legislators. But I got to tell you, Michael, when I read this in this latest article that you guys pumped out, the Transportation Empowerment Act will reduce the federal gas tax from 18.3 to 3.7 cents a gallon. That's huge. That money comes straight back to us, right?
Yes, sir. And so Colorado can decide, all right, we're going to take up the reins and just completely fund the difference through the gas tax, or it can go and do something else, maybe, God forbid, cut spending and let the private sector take the initiative to fill the transportation funding gap.
Well,
but
No, go ahead. Sorry I interrupted, but you're absolutely right. And we've had those issues between Denver and Boulder, where they just finished up or they're still working on Highway 36, and they were having to use toll roads, and they were going to sell that project to a different company so that they could make a bunch of money off of it over the next 99 years, when in fact we're already paying taxes to do that very thing.
Sure. And a lot of this has to do with reliability, because right now in May, the Congress just passed the 33rd short-term extension of the Highway Trust Fund. And so a lot of states have just gotten tired of basically being held hostage by the political process in D.C. And so what the TEA would do would allow the states to be in charge. And so they wouldn't have these funding gaps that we've seen from the political deadlock in Washington. And so there would be a lot more room for a lot more certainty, at least. You wouldn't have all these projects getting delayed and then half finished because of a lack of financing from D.C. It would all be up to the state and hopefully increasingly more so the private sector to decide.
Well, let me ask you this question. I know this is a little bit down a rabbit hole, but what federal program actually works the way it was intended? Is there one? Yeah, that's the same answer I have.
I mean, absolutely. Our military obviously is the first and most vital thing that our government does, and obviously thanks to all our veterans out there for all your service, because that is the vital role that the government should play, protecting the nation. And so when you see these programs that divert money away from their proper and useful cause, that just detracts from what the government should be doing.
Well, and the reason I bring that up is because, you know, like you see in California, we've got the same issues here. We've got the RTD, the bus system, the rail system, the light rail system. And it seems like our government always wants to throw billions and billions and billions of dollars down that rabbit hole. And they end up being subsidized to the tune of $45 per passenger per ticket by the taxpayer. And that's where they want to spend these road and bridges dollars. And that's up to us to fix here in Colorado. But it would be a really good step if Colorado was in charge of that. Are other states, how many people are getting on board in this? What is the status of this bill?
So it's introduced in Congress, which is the first step. And so there's actually been a lot of pushback from many states, including some red states, which I totally understand, because it's all about accountability. A lot of legislatures and even governments like the idea that the federal government is just siphoning money back to them, because they can go and cut a ribbon at a new road, a new bridge, take credit for that. But when it goes wrong, they can point fingers to D.C. And so I think this is really it's sad, but that's the truth. And so this is basically just taking a hard line, saying we have to be accountable for the money that we're spending. Our infrastructure is vital for our economy, for our nation. I mean, we travel 3 trillion miles every year on the roads in the United States. So this is not something that we can just kind of pass the buck on. We really need the states to step up and be responsible, because the federal government just is not doing a good job.
Michael Sargent, tell my listeners where they can read more about some of the work you've written and find out more about you.
Absolutely. You can go to heritage.org. My name is Michael Sargent. And you can also check out our media arm, Daily Signal. And that's where Senator Mike Lee and Rep. Ron DeSantis had their op-ed debuting the Transportation Empowerment Act. So I urge you all to check it out. It's a very exciting time.
Thank you. It's been a long time coming. Thank you for joining me on Freedom 560. Don't go away. We'll be right back right after this. Welcome back, Freedom 560. I am your host, Ken Clark. You know, I had planned on talking about some additions to the TPP thing at 2 o'clock, but I think I'm going to go ahead and just dive right into it now, because this is one of those issues that is very, very broad. Now, we need to go back in time. Here's the problem with it, though. It's hard to figure out. They're talking about bringing this thing back up again for a vote as early as Tuesday. Okay, Breitbart's got an update on this thing that is a running update. And if you go to that website and click on that, it's kind of difficult to ascertain what's really happening, because, you know, it's just kind of odd. They There were two different votes that happened. One of them would have killed federal reimbursement for employees who lose their job because of imports. That was just obliterated today, and that kind of split the bill. Okay, so then they voted and passed the TPA, which is the Fast Track Trade Authority. But because of those two contradictory votes, the thing is kind of stuck in limbo right now. So they're talking about potentially bringing that back and on Tuesday and voting for it one more time. And it kind of goes like this, and see if you can make heads or tails of this. This is right out of Breitbart. What it all means. The TAA vote is a huge loss for Obama and the establishment. The president was abandoned by Democrats in general and Pelosi in particular. It's likely there will be another TAA vote on Tuesday. If that passes, the TPA vote from today stands. If it doesn't, both are done. So what does that mean? Today, the TPA vote is the one that passed. Okay, it just barely passed, but it did pass. So if they bring back that other vote, it looks like, on the benefits for those folks who are, I don't know, laid off their job or whatever, they lose their job based on imports, if they find some way over the weekend to do enough wrangling and finagling, then yeah, that thing will revitalize itself and they can still get it passed. So I guess, you know, when we talk about this, we have to understand under no uncertain terms that it's not dead yet. It is not over. Today was a huge victory. It was an embarrassment to President Obama, and frankly, that's a good thing. The guy should have been shamed out of office years ago. What's happening and what the Republicans are doing is disgraceful. And I have to open the show today biting my tongue, choking, if you will, on the words that are coming out of my mouth, thanking Nancy Pelosi and the unions for saving the economy in the United States, at least for a day. Maybe for 4 days. We're going to see what happens on Tuesday. But I promise you, over the weekend, there is going to be arm twisting by Boehner, McConnell. I mean, and what are Paul Ryan, Scott Walker is on board with this. Ted Cruz is on board with this. I mean, nobody's surprised about Cory Gardner. What a sellout there. But I mean, really? The Republicans are pushing this. And we know why. It is obvious why. They're bought and paid for. They are bought and paid for. The unions own the Democratic Party. The unions do. So the unions know this is going to kill their members' jobs. And while their own motivation is by no means pure, it at least is on the side of the Americans that want to keep a job, that want a job. Okay, so at least it's that. I am no fan of unions, you know that. But in this particular case, they're the ones that are standing up forcing the Democrats to kill Obama's Fast Track Trade Authority. And the Republicans have sold their soul, and the rest of us along with it to the National Chamber of Commerce and to Wall Street. These big international corporations. I mean, the people that have read this thing, Jeff Sessions has read it. He's one of maybe a handful. I don't know how many. I'm guessing two, maybe three, maybe four that have actually read this. You think Paul Ryan's read it? Of course not. He doesn't care. He's a sellout just like the rest of them. And we really need to remove these guys. That's why I'm still so upset that John Boehner is the Speaker of the House. When we had this new freshman class coming in 2014, none of them would take a stand to get rid of him. And this is the result. This is a direct result. Now, I am very pleased about the way Ken Buck voted on this particular issue. He voted for John Boehner as Speaker of the House. He gave the guy that is trying to do this to us the power to do it. Don't forget that. Elections have consequences. The votes these people make have consequences. The people that they put in power to lead the Republican, to be the Speaker of the House, the third most powerful politician, arguably in the entire world, Speaker of the House, third in line to be president, is John Boehner. And he's pushing this. And Paul Ryan is out there, you know, and Ted Cruz has adopted the Obama talking points on this thing and has just decided, you know, well, and I don't understand it. Scott Walker, same thing. You know, and where was Mike Kaufman? I haven't heard hide and a hair or a peep from him. I'm sure that he voted. I don't know where how he voted. I haven't seen a list of this yet. I have not seen a list of this yet. But it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out over the weekend. There is going to be a lot of arm twisting. There are going to be a lot of deals made. And you're going to see some members, Democrats especially, members of the House of Representatives, promise this, that, and the other thing, which is, of course, my campaign slogan for running for president. I promise you this, that, and the other thing. But unfortunately, in this scenario, it's real because they are going to be promised and given a whole bunch of garbage. What is it? What are they going to be given? You and I are going to be paying for it no matter what it is. But this is the way it's going down. I mean, this is the way it will happen. And so, I mean, you've got Drudge has got a whole bunch of headlines on this. House defeats trade bill for now. And that's the key for now, because this isn't gone all. This isn't 100% gone yet. And I still can't believe I'm saying this. Republicans are the ones pushing it. Republicans are the ones pushing it. We really need to rethink our Republican platform. We really need to rethink our Republican strategy if this is what they're going to be doing to us. I mean, it really makes me not want to be a Republican anymore. It really does. When I see this kind of garbage, I mean, we've got some real rock stars. I was in a conference call today talking about some this morning and talking about some potential legislation, some things that we're working on doing. And there are some senators out there and some members of the House of Representatives here in Colorado that are true rock stars. I mean, they really are. They care very deeply about what's happening, not only in Colorado, but in Washington, D.C. as well. But typically the ones that you can count on, like Ted Cruz, like Mike Lee, they're not there. Scott Walker, we all expected him to be the front runner hero, the governor of Wisconsin, because he survived all those recalls. No. So what's really going on? I mean, what is actually going on? Is there an agenda out there to erase the United States of America? What's happening with all these people that are being brought over from Syria and given refugee status? I found out earlier, late last night, that there is, in fact, another border surge happening right now. Why? What's going on with that? Well, let's ask somebody who may be in the know on that, Jim Simpson. Let's bring him on the air with us right now, and I'm going to ask him that question. Is there an agenda to erase America, Jim?
Thanks for having me on. Absolutely. Absolutely. It is an agenda to make America unrecognizable and ungovernable except by the radical left.
Okay, you're going to have to explain that to me. So what exactly does that mean? What does that look like?
Well, okay. The radical left, well, let's start at first principles. The issue is never the issue. It doesn't matter what the issue is. As far as the left is concerned, the issue only matters insofar as it helps promote their agenda. And their agenda is power and wealth at all costs. And so the various things that they support support that agenda. Massive illegal immigration goes a long way towards doing that, because by getting third world type people, folks that can't support themselves, they're essentially importing another welfare class. They've already done everything they could in the ghetto community to make it dependent on the government. They need more people like that. They don't have enough. So they are importing people from Central America, from Afghanistan, from all over the world, using whatever pretext they can. And those people come with no comprehension of our constitutional form of government, no interest in learning about it. They're here to take advantage of all the things our country has to offer without bothering to become part of our country. And so in becoming legal residents, becoming voting citizens, they will deliver, or can potentially deliver, the left the permanent progressive majority that it seeks. And that is the agenda.
So, Jim, when that voice you're hearing is Jim Simpson. And so, Jim, you're referring to, and there is a new report that is talking about the existential, if I could talk today, threat to America. Tell me about that report.
Okay, I just completed a report for the Center for Security Policy. It's called the Red-Green Axis. It's immigration and the agenda to erase America. And, you know, we all focus on illegal immigration and all of the waves of illegal immigrants coming across the southwest border. And that's a serious issue. And to me, it's a flagrant demonstration of just how irresponsible and self-serving this president is, that he would allow that to occur, and not merely allow it, but encourage it. But while we're all focusing on that, there's this other immigration program that's been going along under our noses, and nobody's noticed: the refugee resettlement program. And we think of refugees as, you know, people who are desperately leaving their country due to oppression or war or something. And that's true to some extent, but it's not why they are all coming to the United States. The refugee resettlement agenda was actually something created by the United Nations in 1976 in the conference they had on settlements at Vancouver, Canada. And they talked about what their explicit goals were. One was to abolish private property in all countries, and two was to redistribute not merely income, but populations, wealth, resources, and land to make it more, quote-unquote, equitable for everybody involved. And you can go to the UN Settlements Conference paper and read all that stuff yourself. I'm giving you the cliff notes. The thing is pages and pages long, but that's what they say. And so this agenda was started early on, and the UN High Commissioner for Refugees today gets first priority in placing refugees in the United States. Our settlement agencies give the UN High Commissioner first dibs on resettling people in the United States. And as you may have heard, he is clamoring for the world to accept 130,000 Syrian refugees as a result of the Civil War. And 14 U.S. senators, who we call the Jihad Caucus, have advocating accepting 65,000 of those, even though the FBI has said they cannot possibly be vetted. So it's almost a guarantee that some of them will wind up being ISIS fighters slipping in with the refugees.
Yeah, I think it's hard to imagine that they wouldn't be a major part of that. That voice you're hearing is James Simpson. He has this is on Amazon that I'm looking at, the Red-Green Axis, Refugees, Immigration, and the Agenda to Erase American Civilization, Jihad Reader Series Book 4. Jim, we're going to go to break. When we come back, we will have more right after this. And I'm back. This is Freedom 560. I am your host, Ken Clark. We are speaking with James Simpson. He has a book out on Amazon, The Red-Green Axis, Refugees, Immigration, and the Agenda to Erase America. And this is a study. It's based on research conducted by Ann Cochran. And she has been on with me on Freedom 560. And she has a blog, Refugee Resettlement Watch. It is very powerful. It talks about the idea that we are resettling tens of thousands of refugees from the Middle East and other areas into the United States without proper background checks. And this is a major problem. It's been going on for decades. Jim, welcome back to Freedom 560.
Glad to be here. And it's not tens of thousands, it's hundreds of thousands. And Ann Corcoran is a very good friend of mine. She does a great job. Most of my research, however, though, I have to say, is my own.
Well, you add the way this looks on Amazon, and this is why I said that, what it says is, and adds considerable detail to the research conducted by Ann. So talk about your
research. Absolutely. That's true. That's absolutely true. She did a just incredible job in her Hijra to America. Just an incredible book, and I urge your listeners to get a hold of that, because she really got this ball rolling. And, you know, she is a housewife, a mother, and she just took a personal interest in this back in around 2007, and she has become literally the go-to expert in the United States on the refugee resettlement program.
You know, when I saw some of her YouTube videos, I decided that I wanted to get her on the air, and so I did, and I started going to her blog and reading it, and then I wanted to get you on, Jim, to follow up on that, because you have done a lot of additional research, and you've got the red-green axis out, and so I want to talk about that. How big a problem is this? Are you with me, Jim? Did we lose him? I think we did lose Jim. Evidently, he can't hear us. But in the meantime, why don't we get? We do have a caller on the line. Let's bring Mike on. Mike wants to talk about this as well. While we try to get Jim back, Mike, welcome back to Freedom 560. Do we have anybody? Any of them?
Yeah, hear me.
Yeah, who's this?
Yeah, this is Mike.
Okay, Mike.
Yeah, I do have to say I don't think there's any conspiracy theory out there that we're trying to erase America. What I currently see happening in America and what the money shows is there's basically two types of capitalism out there. One is called corporate capitalism, which is to maximize the profits and profitability of all corporations. And the other one is what's called citizen capitalism, which is to have the people of the nation to grow with the corporations and enjoy in the wealth of the companies. And that's kind of what our founding fathers set up, and we had for 220 years, is we had this growth of industry and growth of the middle class. And ever since we signed NAFTA and free trade, we've seen nothing but the middle class being destroyed and the corporations and billionaires making record profits. So this whole idea of bringing in hundreds of thousands of people, it's only to compete versus American workers. There's currently 31 million unemployed Americans vying over a few jobs that are out there. And the more refugees you bring to America, the more fighting there's going to be for those jobs. Now, I think most of your listeners feel the pain of not getting those raises, not having that job. I mean, my wife lost her job twice in the last 5 years. I lost my job. It happened because the jobs that used to be making computers, making cars, making machines have all gone overseas. And so I don't believe in the conspiracy that there's a takeover or to eliminate the United States. I believe the corporations are trying to maximize their profits.
Mike, I want to thank you. Wow, we just lost them both, Randy. I want to thank you for calling in to Freedom 560, and that's a very interesting take. I will, however, say that based on my own study, the things that I'm seeing there, based on looking at the agenda that Obama's following, the agenda of the United Nations, their intent is to fundamentally transform the United States of America. Their intent is to redistribute the wealth of the United States of America. That's what the TPP is all about. Our wealth goes there. And it is designed to try to right some wrong that maybe the United States has extracted our wealth that we have from those other countries, and they somehow want to correct that wrong. So while I agree with you, Jim, I want you to chime in on that too.
Yeah, they rationalize socialism. It's all rationalization. But, you know, the fact of the matter is socialism, as we all know, does not work. It has never worked. It cannot work. And so when they create these justifications, what they're really doing is merely finding a pretext for themselves to insert themselves in the process and become very wealthy at the same time. Now, regarding your prior caller's information about corporations going overseas, he's absolutely right. Except I think what a lot of people don't realize is that, you know, the corporations are following their own self-interest, like corporations and since the dawn of time. They're in business to make a profit, and that's how they do it, with endless regulation in the United States, with unionization, with all the various employee laws. they find it much easier to go overseas where they don't have to deal with any of that stuff. But who allowed them to do that? Well, in the 1990s, it was Bill Clinton. He allowed, and I have to say, George W. Bush, George H.W. Bush, also allowed basically a huge proportion of our U.S. manufacturing base to be exported to Red China. And while the corporations were definitely following their own interest in that, there was a very subversive agenda there, too. And that agenda was to hand our enemies our manufacturing capability, our manufacturing know-how, our markets, our networks, and all they did was provide inexpensive labor in return. And what do we have now? We have a People's Republic of China with a military that is becoming a world power. It's becoming dangerous. It has used our high technology to build weapons that are capable of threatening our best stuff. And so it's a very short-sighted and on the corporations' part, very selfish. But the corporations, it's not their job to be unselfish. It's the job of the politicians to regulate that thing, and the politicians did not do that.
James Simpson, author of The Red-Green Axis, Refugees, Immigration, and the Agenda to Erase America. That book can be found on Amazon. I would suggest everybody go buy it. This is Freedom 560. I'll be right back.